Chicago police are holding the owner of a Southside scrapyard after he was accused of helping thieves steal and scrap 8 school buses. Sergio Quintero is charged with illegal possession of auto titles. The buses were taken from the Sunrise Bus Company early Friday morning. Each bus was shredded and scrap sold for about $3,500 per bus. GPS tracking devices led police to what was left of them. Police arrested 3 other people on Friday.
So, Southside Chicago, nothing safe, not even school buses.
I guess I'm just curious how they got the school buses in the first place.
They stole them from a company that, off the lot of a school bus company. I don't know if they warehouse them or make them or whatever, but yeah, they just stole them right off somebody's lot.
And I guess once they were crushed up, nobody could see too much of the yellow.
But there were GPS in them, so they actually did find it. No, I think at the junkyard, people don't care. I think that's the issue, is that, like, in Chicago, in the South Side, the North Side, too, it don't matter. That city, there's just so much corruption out there that people don't really think much about doing that. Like, somebody, I think in some places, somebody would say, wait a second, we're scrapping school buses. Like, you know, without the proper paperwork. Like, who would do that? But it's just here, you know, it's business, it's metal, let's crush it. Don't ask where it came from. Like, that's the, you know, fast and loose way that they play out in Chi-Town.
And there's thousands of kids who weren't able to go to school? No, I don't know.
I think fortunately it's such a big city that there's probably several dozen extra school buses around, and they probably had enough. But I mean, it's, you really gotta, like, you really gotta think about what it would take for somebody that ran a scrapyard to be willing to scrap school buses without the right paperwork.
$3,500
each. I mean, and that's not, it's probably not really too much, because they probably cost, I don't really know, but I bet they cost a lot of money to make.
Yeah.
Something that big with that much metal on it, you know, it would have to cost a good deal. And yeah, these days, metal's worth a lot. It's almost surprising it doesn't scrap for more than that. And there's another fucked up story. It was a 4-year-old in Union, New Jersey, who was found living with a body of, I think, a woman, maybe his mom, I don't know, that had been decomposing. It's a really fucked up story. Like, okay, so Union, New Jersey, not far from Newark. Like, I guess somebody's, like, I guess maybe this woman was his caretaker or his mom or something, I'm not sure. But, like, so she died, and then he, like, they discovered, like, maybe 4 days later that the kid was stuck in there. He couldn't reach any more food. I guess he couldn't get the refrigerator opened. I don't know if it was locked or if he couldn't, you know, if he wasn't that strong or whatever.
Yeah.
So he couldn't get to food. He was like malnourished. And apparently, like, he's 4. He didn't really know what's going on. No one's there to tell him. So he was putting lotion on the dead body.
Oh. To,
I guess, try to take care of the person or revive them or something.
Aww.
It's pretty fucked up stuff, right? I just saw that story and I was just like, that's seriously one of the most fucked up things I've heard in a long time.
Yeah.
Now, pretty fucked up would be a good way to describe the average homeboy from Ohio. And America, he wants your money.
Hey, it's Denny Blazin' Hazen, also known as the average homeboy. You might have seen me on Comedy Central or VH1 with my viral video. Now I want to make a short film, movie pilot, about my story. How I went from a small town in Ohio to internet fame. Yes, I'm a white man who has smoothed out my rapping. So I'm asking all of my friends around the world, average homeboys and homegirls, to come together and help me make this movie project. Once you see this movie trailer, you'll just be blazed.
Average homeboy. You've watched him on YouTube. You've seen him on Tosh.0. VH1 named him the number 3 greatest internet superstar. After more than 2 decades, Average Homeboy is still chasing his dream. He's knocking on every door that he can. He's still smoothing out his rapping. He's still a white boy doing rap music. Average Homeboy will inspire you.
Years after after that's even a big deal anymore.
Small town in Ohio. Average home with the feature crop. They'll make you laugh. They'll make you cry. When you see this movie, it must be praised. Let's take the story to the big screen. We need average homies to join together. Right now, this is your chance.
So, apparently, this guy actually is, trying to raise money for some sort of movie. Although what's kind of funny is that he hasn't really, his ideas haven't changed. Like, we saw him on a found footage site, I think everythingisterrible.com, before. And so, you know, when we saw that he was doing a Kickstarter, like, because we just happened to be browsing the site this evening, right? And we saw him up there because of the local listings, because apparently, you know, he sees from Ohio, maybe even the Cleveland area. So we saw that, and I mean, it's so funny. We watched one of his old video again, and I mean, it's the same. He uses the same stupid video tricks in this video, as he says, decades later, like basketball, like him not quite dunking a basketball. That's still his big move.
Yeah, and I mean, lots and lots of shots of the basketball. You know, that's probably half the movie.
Yeah, so I don't think that one's going anywhere. I'm looking at it right now. But what do I know? It just started, right? 33 days to go. That's about how long. I think they last about 33 days. But he actually has two backers. They've pledged $45. Thing is, he's looking for $5,000. So
got a long way to go.
Yeah, he's got a long way to go. Also with a long way to go is another local Cleveland act called Megan Zirke. Now, the video on her Kickstarter is terrible. But if you go to her website, it auto-plays her music, sort of like a MySpace page.
Which is even more terrible.
I was getting to try to sing along with this song, like, but I couldn't remember. I didn't listen to it enough to remember this. Sounds all funny. Doesn't she swear in the second verse, or is that the end of this song? This is like, maybe that'd be the point. After, now that we've already brought people into this. That's right, America. Megan Zirke trying to raise $3,000. Currently raised $626. 23 days to go. I think I talked over the square. So, what do you think about that one? You think it's going to make it?
You know, let's see. March 22nd, so it was launched last Friday.
23 days left, and, you know, one-sixth of the way there, a little more than a sixth of the way there.
I mean, she has almost 18,000 Facebook friends, so hopefully she's working her social media.
Oh, they list... Wow, okay, on Facebook, they list your profile and how many friends you have?
I guess maybe they pull that data in on Kickstarter.
Yeah, I mean, if people give them their, Facebook accounts. Yeah, I voted, you know what, I tweeted about it, and I voted, but I don't know if it matters. So let's see, it was supposed to be until 10 o'clock tonight. It's 10:52 right now. Okay, so there was a contest to see who was going to win. Oh, and okay, so Cleveland was going up against Huntsville, Alabama, and it was about hosting the social media tourism symposium, and the final vote tally, Huntsville 7,400, Cleveland 6,426.
Oh, so close.
I voted. I did vote.
I did as well.
Oh, you voted too? Well, that's good. And somebody, did you hear about that on Facebook? Or
I did.
Yeah.
Yep.
So then I saw people tweeting about it. I saw, I saw some conversation about it. Some people wanted it, so I don't know exactly what it was, but it's really, you know, I tried, you know, I did what I could. I guess, you know, when you go up against a powerhouse like Huntsville, Alabama, though, you got to go in the game with a certain amount of humility.
You do. I mean, Alabama tends to beat Ohio in more ways than one.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, I don't know too much about Alabama, but I know a lot of people like it. Well, let's see. Is there any more Kickstarter stuff that?
I think Cleveland's pretty small, though. In this, when you get down to like the social media aspect,
it's a very,
you know,
small community, isn't it? Like we were talking
it's
about
active,
that. Like who were,
but it's small.
Who were? Yeah, who were like you? You could name like all the big like. Not all of them, but like a bunch of the big like Cleveland blogs, like right away, like we're once we're talking about like the one, the nail polish one, and the Y Clee one, and the there's a few food ones, Hungry and Clee, and by that person with their office uptown, the I Heart Clee or whatever, all those. There's a handful of people. There's that. What about on, you know, on the sports side? They they have that the Cleveland fan site, and so they had a contest. Or a drawing, or what? Why does everyone do that on their like tiny little social media platform? Anyway, but they're like, so they were talking about the tickets. They're saying Indians Yankees home opener tickets to anyone that retweets this. So I quoted what they said. And I wrote soggy letdown ? And then I linked to this post that I did about the opening day 2009. Remember how we went to the home opener? I think in 2008, 2009, 2010. And I want to say, was the 2011 one the time we went with some people to the opener too? Or was that, or did we stop? We went and made at least those first three.
Yeah, and then we didn't go for a while.
Well, yeah, we went to like one or two games the last few years, not too many. Yeah, so 2009 home opener. Grady Sizemore has a strike called on him during 2009 Indians home opener. And so what I wrote was, for the Indians, the home opener was a wet, soggy letdown. First, the game made it almost five innings in light rain before being delayed. Then we hung out at Harry Buffalo for a while before going home. Eventually, some 3 hours later, the game resumed, and the Indians lost to the Toronto Blue Jays 13-7.
Yeah. We've had a couple of really nice opening days. Warm and, you know, very springish. And then we've had some really cold, rainy ones, too.
Well, look at the situation that we're in. Look at the kind of weather we're having now, and I mean it's pretty terrible. It's already spring supposedly, and we're getting like snow and stuff.
And it's really cold.
I mean it is pretty cold out there, and I mean it doesn't really seem to be warming up. Now of course it might warm up a little bit for the weekend.
Yay!
Sure, it's good, but I mean that's. You know, that I don't know, that's some maybe a small consolation, like, for how just terrible the weather is. Like, here, let's take a look here. Weather in this area. I mean, it's really bad. It was a pretty cold winter. It wasn't that snowy, but it was really cold. And then, you know, So, like, what are we looking at 10-day forecast, you know? What is the highest going to be? 56? That's, like, one day. It's going to be the 20s to the 40s. In spring, into April, it's going to be like this. I'm just saying, so this is not a good year to go to the home opener. Plus, the Indians, you know, Indians are no good. The Chris Perez, that punk, I think I've discussed him before on the show, that lousy, stupid punk who talked about how, like, people in Cleveland owed the Indians, like, sold tickets that they don't have to actually put something worthwhile on the field. Because they had, a less terrible than normal start last year, which, of course, went nowhere. Like, he started talking about how you know, just in these really unfavorable terms about, like, people in Cleveland. It's like, look, no, they're not buying into that nonsense you're doing. So I think the guy's a punk. Well, anyway, he got two home runs hit off him in the last exhibition game today. So, I mean, they're talking about a closer who's coming back from an injury and launching, like, rockets for people. So it's two-run home runs hit off him. That's not a very good, you know, a closer. I mean, how long is the closer even in for? So Indians are going to be terrible. And the Mets are going to be terrible, too.
But hopefully the Dodgers will win.
Dodgers are your team, and I'll be happy for you if they win.
Thank you.
The Mets' best pitcher, Johan Santana. Well, you know how they had that the guy won the Cy Young, but they had to get rid of him because the you know, Sandy Alderson and the idiots, you know, running the Mets front office are obsessed with building a losing team. I think, like, so get rid of the guy who just won the Cy Young. But so now we got Johan Santana. Well, no, we don't. He's out for the entire season. There hasn't been a pitch thrown. He's out for this season. The Mets are done. Their best pitcher is gone before the season starts.
Yeah, it's not good.
Of course it's not good. It's the Mets. Well, there's a new pause and skip interface in iOS 6.1. You notice this? So if you're playing media, instead of having something pop up, like if you have media playing on your phone, like a podcast app or playing music on your iPhone, you Spotify, whatever, like you know how, okay, you can go use a different app and the music will play in the background, right? But previously, you could get to it by double clicking the home button.
Okay.
You can now still. But you see how it's moved. It's now at the top. The controls that pop up, play, back, forward, which mean different things for different apps. It's moved up. It's gotten a smoother, kind of chromier kind of look to it. I mean, more metallic, you know, kind of look.
Yeah.
Fresh metal. And, but it is not, you know, it's not down and lower like it was in iOS 6.0.
And how do you feel about that?
You know what? I'm fine with it. I guess maybe people's fingers would just get in the way of other stuff, like the unlock button and stuff, like it would move stuff around and this, and I have, you know, I have a pretty big thumb, I can just reach up to that button, but I don't know, I think some people might like the convenience of it being down low there, especially on the iPhone 5, because I have a 4S, I'm sure I could still easily hit reach that button on the 5 with my thumb, but it is, like, for me, it's been a thumb button, right? You double tap the home button with your thumb, and then you control it. Well, I mean, you can have to reach up now. I don't know, I'll be fine with it, but and I guess a lot of people maybe aren't very frequent users of that kind of semi-hidden functionality of iOS, you know. What do you think? Think a lot of people use that?
I don't know.
Do you use that feature?
Yes, because my phone locks all the time. So I listen to music and I just double tap it and skip songs, which is kind of nice. You don't have to unlock it into your password.
Oh, you can actually get around even your passcode unlocks, so this, because you use that on your phone. That's a great point. So that's actually even more convenient. Because I'm a frequent listener to podcasts and music with my headphones and stuff, that I will I'll use that interface frequently. But I guess someone who is, who has the passcode like you, I mean, that's nice. Like, it makes it a lot fewer steps.
Yeah, because, you know, during my commute, I just let the music play, and then eventually the phone locks. You know, but it's nice to be able to just quickly tap and skip the song. Especially when I listen to Spotify and they get crazy. Some of their recommendations.
Yeah, like the Spotify radio. You use that feature?
I do.
And
I like it to discover new stuff, and I star a couple things, and I hear some...
Yeah.
I heard Portishead the other day, which was really great, because I hadn't listened to them in a long
time. Oh, you love your Portishead.
I know, I do. I'm like, this is so good. I love this song. I almost pressed skip, but then I was like, no, I'll listen to it.
Now, if I remember right, because I was... I like some of that stuff, but I was into DJ Shadow and Tricky and a lot of acts that were maybe in a very vague kind of beat making sense and in a similar kind of space, you know. But Portishead, I remember I heard a bit, but then friend had the CDs in college. I remember hearing them a lot, and I remember there being a lot of controversy between the first and second albums. Is that right? Isn't
yes.
that like a big debate?
Yes. It just, they're very different.
Okay.
So, fans, you know, got a little upset, but, you know.
What do you feel about it?
I had moved on from Portishead by the time that their second album came out, and I'd heard kind of, like, bad reviews, and so I didn't really return. I think... When did their second one come out?
Let's see. Main albums.
I had Dummy. So, 97. I mean, 97, I was into Smashing Pumpkins and Nirvana and a little bit more kind of rocky stuff. Pearl Jam, probably, by then, you know.
Okay.
Graduating high school.
Mm-hmm.
So... Smashing Pumpkins was our, like, senior song or whatever.
Oh, okay.
1979.
You know what? I think we may have had a senior song and a prom dance song. Or maybe I'm wrong, but I think maybe the senior song was in a terrible, terrible cliche and a very unfortunate reflection of my high school, At the End of the World as We Know It by R.E.M. But much better was the theme and song of our prom, Moondance.
Moondance. Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm not sure where that one came from. In fact, when I was talking about it, I was telling my dad that was the theme, and he told me about Van Morrison. I'm not really sure that I knew about that song before that music. I think I maybe ever had heard one song off of it or something, but you know, like, of course some of these songs are classics,
yeah.
And not just Moondance, and you know, like, And It Stoned Me is definitely one of those you know, great hits that he had. Fuck, Megan Zirke. Oh no, she fought, like, she's still playing in the background. I no wonder I muted the audio output. Oh, I guess I better put her in the show notes then, because she's had some more appearances. Let's go. Let's listen to some other music.
Yeah, strongly to my soul. Stop it just like Jelly Rose. Get it stoned, babe. Get it stoned, babe. To my soul. Stop it just like.
Van Morrison. I like Van Morrison. I actually acquired this album at some point along the way, because I actually do like a few of the songs. That's a good one. And
I never got the album, but
famous.
I always liked hearing his music.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the guy's probably best known for Brown Eyed Girl, which he did with, I think he was still with a group at that point. But he made a lot of great music, and some stuff that's a little more mature and, you know, complex than Brown Eyed Girl. You know, it's another classic. This is the one you hear in classic rock radio, I think, for whatever weird reason.
Yeah.
You don't hear... The other ones are almost kind of... They almost have this ebullient kind of I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Kind of like a little bit different flavor. Whereas this will just go right in between your Pink Floyd and your bag opening. Here on Classic Rock Radio. And, you know, yeah.
KBBX.
Hey, yeah. Not like the Simpsons channel, KBBL.
Because that's what, Blab or something?
Yeah, Babble or whatever.
Babble.
I guess like Blab. Those guys, they do have some good radio guy shtick, but I mean, some good patter.
And all the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. Yeah, I'm trying to please to the calling of your heart.
Das hier ist der DJ 3000. Er legt automatisch CDs auf und hat drei unterschiedliche Variationen von sinnlosem Gequatsche.
Oh, this is in German.
Und sie kriegen Kult aus den 80ern von Phil Collins.
Der beste Verkehrs- und Blitzdienst.
How is that? How can that be funny? Even how can you?
Anything in German really just sounds.
It's a lot different than the
way
English.
Fun.
Yeah, it just sounds a lot different than you know, it's just well,
why do you want to have a baby so bad? I got a lot of love to give. And right now, my only outlet is my ham radio.
What could have happened to your week here?
Alright, so you know Google Reader went and they're gonna kill that thing. They declared that it's on the way out.
The music's over.
Yeah, and I think it was the last podcast we episode 76 I think, where we talked about actually, you know, how I was noticing just as I was checking stories for last minute inclusion into the podcast, literally while the podcast was going, that like it was on the way out. So now we're looking at replacements. But I got to admit, I have not found a full replacement. Now, what do you do when you want an RSS reader and Google's not going to be your friend anymore? Well, there's, I suppose, at least some options out there. But, you know, I mean, okay, so you have desktop RSS readers. I know for a while, you know, email clients would have an RSS reader built in, right? But a lot of those have had that ripped out. That never really took off. Now, like, I don't know, I think Opera, I know, you know what, the first thing I used to subscribe to RSS feeds was Opera. And I used that on my old Windows XP, you know, laptop years ago. Like, yeah, a long time ago, before I put Linux on that thing. Even. Well, I mean, you know, I wanted a decent browser, and I had my issues with Firefox at the time. Remember how much of a memory hog it was, especially on Windows? Anyway, so didn't want to use IE. So I was using Opera, and I noticed that I could get some of, like, I think some of the political blogs I subscribed to, like, you know, back when, you know, this was back in the, you know, the height of the anti-Bush kind of fervor, you know, that I was, like, think I was a part of. And you know, so there was a lot of, that was when the blogosphere was blowing up politically and otherwise, because it was a good, you know, outlet for expression, and there wasn't the kind of current social media stuff that was used for a lot of things, right? A lot of bloggers had short posts where their style could be moved right onto Twitter. I guess that's sort of, it's almost like a silent film era or something, because you don't have the social media and fast messaging and stuff. So information wasn't as echoed quite as fast, so multiple people would see what was going on, often through TV or newspapers, you know, or mainstream reporting online, and then, you know, interpret it or add new information to it, and then discuss it. And it was just, this whole, like, I mean, people wouldn't use, like, well, a lot of what they use for, on whatever, Facebook, Twitter, Google Plus, whatever, app.net. You know, they do, it was all, a lot of that was still in the blogosphere.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It was like, anyway, so you know, people start using RSS feeds to keep track of their stuff. And I remember noticing that Opera could use it. So I subscribed to some feeds onto Opera. But I don't know. I mean, I don't use Opera anymore. And plus, like, I wouldn't be surprised if they removed that functionality because people don't expect it to really be in browsers or email clients, right? Because, wasn't it kind of just built, like, Google Reader really started as, like, it was always kind of like a Gmail for feeds, right? So now, I mean, like, the feed reader, there were things like NewsGator and all sorts of stuff, but there was, you know, like, the offline feed reader went away when people started using Google Reader, and it got to the point, right, where I would talk about apps on this show, including Reader with two E's, Caffeinated, there were several others, and they were all like, you know, mobile RSS Pro, they all plugged into Google Reader. And so they're all just clients for that. You would have your feeds on there. And, you know, I mean, on the one hand, there are people like Dave Weiner who warned that this wasn't a good idea and this is too centralizing and they didn't even interpret feeds properly. Like, Google Reader created a convention in RSS that was never in the spec, I guess, that you have to have a title. You know, you didn't have to have a title. It wasn't a required field. But Google Reader would have a hard time giving you anything to click on if you didn't have a title. You know, it was kind of hard to read someone's blog in Google Reader, if not impossible. But it was like, because the clicking to the full story or a lot of functionality was based on filling that data with the title field. Now, my opinion is there should be a title field required. Because when I've written, RSS aggregation or like RSS creation tools, like I find that it's hard to not have that title field to work with. So I'd rather it be, anyway, but the other problem, Dave Weiner, I mean, he didn't really have like a practical thing to point to as a program that to use. Like, I don't know, you know, like he has his like complex, you know, setup that in fact, sometimes, you know, he'll share the code for, but it's a very, convoluted kind of setup, and the average user is just going to find the convenience of Google Reader a lot more compelling. So, you know, in fairness, you can export your feeds out of there. So I have exported my feeds, and I am trying new stuff. Now, one of the things I'm trying to try, is the Old Reader. Now, it's this site, theoldreader.com. I guess they've been around a little while before Google Reader quit, but it didn't seem like many people had heard of them until after Google Reader shut down. Now, what they are is, I guess they try to be like the old Google Reader, whatever that is, because the thing has only been around since like 2007 or so, but whatever. So they're up on the web, and you can go to their site, and you can even give them your OPML file. Now, your OPML file is the XML file that you can export from Google Reader. So if you're a Google Reader user, just go to Google Reader and go through the settings and look at export, and then there'll be different files, and look for the subscriptions XML. That's your OPML file. That's all you need. And you can actually, you know, you definitely want to get that before July 1st if you're a Google Reader user, if you have any more than like two or three feeds, because, you know, I mean, I have hundreds, like we've talked about. So I've exported already, but I tried to import on the Old Reader.
Yeah.
And, well, there's still 4,876 users ahead of me. There were over 40,000 like a number of days ago.
Oh, it's doing pretty quickly.
It's taken almost a week. I've given them my OPML file, and they still, it's probably been about a week or so since I've given them that, and they're taking forever to like to get the thing going. It's not good.
When is Reader shutting down?
July 1st, but I mean, I don't think this should be like a suspense movie. I want to try them out as an alternative, and it's been a number of days, and yet I'm not ready to review them, except, well, they seem to take forever to import your subscriptions, and then sometimes they have status messages about how the site is slow, and they claim they've grown 14 times. Of course, people are looking for an alternative, but they weren't ready for it. They don't seem to have a kind of scalable setup that they can put more stuff online. They're running it through a very narrow filter here. Very narrow choke point that they're having to go through.
Yeah.
That I don't know what that is. But it's not a good scene. So the other thing that I've tried, and I like this one, is Feedly.
Okay.
Feedly has an app for iPhone. I think it has some Android and iPad apps too. I haven't really checked, but they also have kind of what they call apps for your browsers. They're websites,
okay. But
they kind of like they work sort of like with plugin features for your browser. So
okay.
Chrome, I mean, use it in Chrome is what I'm saying. It's kind of more convoluted in Safari and Firefox because you got to manually update it. But Chrome, you know, they have these auto-updating web apps. It's really not that different from a lot of from going to the site in some cases. Like if my Pocket Chrome app seems to be basically just the normal getpocket.com front page. But let's say the Amazon, you know, Cloud Reader, that's kind of a cool app. And it basically works the way read.amazon.com does, but this way it can cache stuff. So here, see, these books are all actually downloaded onto this browser. You know, so it uses the browser like a platform, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's kind of cool. Well, so Feedly is a similar thing like that. And but you go to Feedly.com and then, you know, look at what they're about. And then, well, the thing is, you can basically just log in with your Google account. And right now, still, they're based on Google Reader. So actually, they're not any better than those other things I was talking about at the moment, except for their promises. They're promising to go to their own backend. So before July 1st, they say that they will have their own infrastructure, and they won't be using Google to provide the backend for the feeds.
That's very interesting, because that's a big part of it, is the backend.
Yeah, well, that's what Google has been providing for people, and it seemed to make sense, because Google got to have the centralized information, and they're like a big infrastructure provider. I guess they just decided, like, it's just one of those cost-cutting things that I think a lot of people have been saying now, you know, because this has blown into a bigger story than I kind of thought it would, is that a lot of people are saying that they lost a lot of trust with a lot of people that are users of computers, like and blogs, like a good deal.
Mm-hmm.
So this has been the DJMCloud.com podcast with me, Dan McKeown.
And me, Jessica McKeown.
We've been recording Thursday, March 28th, 2013. You can see the show notes by going to the website, DJMCloud.com, and you can... you get links there and stuff like that. Jessica's website is jessica.sf3am.com. And the site for our band is blogs.sf3am.com/Niener. And actually, that was the one thing I wanted to mention before I go. Dan Lynch was nice enough to mention the Niener project and play our song Gravitons on his Rat Hole Radio podcast. So it was actually last September. It was one of those things I've been meaning to mention, and I haven't. So if you know, you like independent music, and there's a lot of really good stuff, you know, check out his podcast at ratholeradio.org. It sounds like vaguely familiar.
I don't know who sings it, but I like it. It makes me wanna do the Dougie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.